Hello everyone, my name is Jennifer Escobar Gutierrez, and welcome back to Jennifer's Daily Dose. And today is May 23rd, 2019. I'm at my office in my home, and today I'll be talking about an interesting event that has happened in December 31st, 1999, called the 2000 Year Problem. Now, the main purpose as to why I would like to talk about this is to show the time as to when technicians have finally thought and realized to be more cautious about the possible dangers of the technology that they had been developing. According to Britannica.com, this is a class of computer bugs related to the formatting and storage of calendar data for dates beginning in the year 2000. A problem in the coding of computerized systems that was projected to create havoc in the computers and computer networks around the world at the beginning of the year 2000. In metric measurements, K stands for 1,000. After more than a year of international alarm, feverish preparations, and programming corrections, few major failures occurred in the transition from December 31, 1999 to January 1, 2000. According to Time.com, of course, it wasn't long before it became clear that all the fears associated with the turn of the millennium was not an issue at all. According to National Geographic, the reason why this has become somewhat part of history is because it could have affected many things that we still use to this day, and even the government themselves have gotten concerned. Banks, which calculate interest rates on a daily basis, faced real problems. Interest rates are the amount of money a lender, such as a bank, charges a customer, such as an individual, for a loan. Instead of the rate of interest for one day, the computer would calculate a rate of interest for minus almost 100 years. Centers of technology, such as power plants, were also threatened by the Y2K bug. Power plants depend on routine computer maintenance for safety checks, such as water pressure or radiation levels. Not having the correct date would throw off these calculations and possibly put nearby residents at risk. Transportation also depends on the correct time and date. Airlines, in particular, were put at risk, as computers with records of all scheduled flights would be threatened. After all, there were very few airlines flights in 1900. Honestly, if I were to be around during 2000 as an old enough person that would have quite the amount of money in the bank, I would have probably also been freaking out as well, possibly even think that it may be the end of the world. Also, thinking about this event has made me feel the technology of today with more awareness, which has made me fascinated just how advanced technology had become, especially after finding out about this very realistic humanoid named Sophia, made by Hanson Robotics. Now, to finish off this podcast, I would like to introduce someone who would like to talk about this topic as well.
So over here we have Mrs. Gradle, a teacher of mine from school. Welcome, Mrs. Gradle.
Hello.
Now I'm going to ask you a few questions about Y2K.
Okay.
Now, how would you describe it in your own words?
Okay, so Y2K was a computer glitch, I guess, for lack of a better term, where it was believed that the computers were programmed to not recognize the year 2000 because they were just like to keep space available on the computers. They didn't program them for the full year, the full four number year code. So it was just 00. So it thought that the computers would go back to thinking it was 1900 instead of 2000.
All right. Now, back then, did it personally affect you in any way?
I didn't feel any effects from it, but I know like the year leading up to it, once it was figured out that that might be an issue, it was in the news a lot and banks were concerned with, you know, what might happen. I know like personally on December 31st, 1999, like waking up in 2000, it was kind of like you didn't know for sure whether something was going to happen or not, or whether it was just like going to be okay. So there was a kind of uneasiness, like are you going to be able to get your money and that kind of stuff. But I think they had fixed everything to where it wasn't the issue that they thought it could be.
Okay. Now, before you have told me that back then, when it was new that many people had gotten scared, what with the banks and other stuff, were you one of them?
I was a little nervous, but I was only 21, so I wasn't real, like, I wasn't too freaked out because I didn't have a lot of money anyway. So I didn't really, like, what's the worst that could happen? So I would imagine, like, older people were maybe a little more freaked out, but being, like you said, I was only 21, so.
I bet. Now, being where you are now in the present, like 20 years later, do you ever look back and laugh at it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm just like, it's funny to think about it now, like just how panicked everybody was about what could happen and, you know, what might happen. And it's just funny to, you know, think that everyone was so scared about it that it was this big deal because nothing happened.
Do you think that this glitch affected the world differently and dramatically, or do you think that it hadn't really changed the world that much?
I think if anything, it might have made programmers and kind of and technology people a little more aware that, you know, maybe their things are gonna last longer than what they thought they would. Because I'd imagine, like in the 1970s or 60s, when they programmed these computers to begin with, they weren't really thinking that 40 years from now they might still be relevant. So I think maybe it has made technology people feel like they should, you know, make sure that whatever they develop can last for a long time.
Anyways, Maddie, thank you so much, Ms. Grader. It was great having you here.
You're welcome, Jennifer. Thank you.
Welp, that about wraps up our podcast for today. Come by next time on Jennifer's Daily Dose for more.